I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
I tried three different devices to try and see if I could have like a better like professional sounding microphone. I like am in Chicago for a couple weeks right now, but I left all of my equipment in Mississippi where I'm living for now.
We miss you. Hurry home to us.
I know. I have had such a good time being back in Chicago, and it's definitely making me think about coming back, but
yes,
just finding a way to come back and not pay rent would be great.
For real.
How have you been?
I've been good, working at my email job, just chilling, work from home. I like did nothing in January, and now February's here, and it feels like it's like going by in an instant.
Yeah, actually, that's so true. It's already, like, we're halfway through February.
I, like, blinked and we're here. I mean, I was doing dry January, too, so maybe that's why it felt slower, which I'm like, maybe need to unpack that, but,
And listen, yeah. My January was very wet and also wet very slow.
Okay, it's just the start of the year, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just about to get cozy because this technology is driving me fucking insane. There's a lot to talk about for this, like, emergency episode where...
Emergency with, pod.
Yeah, we have the President of the United States posting himself on Instagram with lasers coming out of his eyes. And you gotta hit while the laser eyes are hot.
Well, the lasers are, still warm.
And I don't want to get right into that, but... am curious, just for context, if you are you much of a football fan? Have you like grown up watching it?
I am the like opposite of a football fan, but I love pop culture and being able to be part of the discourse. So like, of course, I was watching it this year because Taylor Swift was going to be watching it this year. But my family, like my brother and dad, are huge football heads, and I'm just like just in the corner.
I'm sure you're not the only one that was tuning in for reasons outside of your love of the sport.
For the love of the game, yeah.
And I already got ahead of myself because I forgot. How shall I introduce you? Thank you for coming on. This is Rachel. And I guess I'll start by just saying we met. I don't even know where we met. We probably met at a party. A house party or a bar. I mean, it had to be. You probably like came to my apartment for a party at some point.
I remember a party last year, just like right around this weekend last year, the Lonely Hearts Club party or whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. But I think I met you before that, though.
I think so, Justin. Too. So you're from, where are you from?
I'm from the suburbs of Chicago, but went to college in the city at DePaul. So I've kind of just been here ever since. And that's like, oh my gosh, I'm 30, so 12 years.
Okay, so... So you mentioned that your brother and your dad are big fans. Do they prefer like professional or college?
All of the above. Okay. They are obsessed.
I think one of the distinct things about being from Mississippi, and this is true of the South in general, but definitely Mississippi specifically, that there is way more emphasis on college football than pro
football.
It's like a
school subculture.
Because we don't have a professional football team, or we don't have any professional teams in the entire state.
I did not realize that.
Our closest ones would be like the Saints, like the New Orleans Saints are right there. I mean, and I want to say Alabama is in the same boat. So Mississippi and Alabama don't have any pro football teams, but we each have two SEC football teams, which is like a powerhouse conference, like the highest division of the college.
Like, even I've heard of that, which is
crazy. Yeah, okay, good. Okay. I don't have to explain it then.
I know it's huge football culture, like college football culture that down there.
Right, right. When you tell your college advisor that you want to go to a school where you can like wake up in a ditch, they'll like say, okay, well, here's the SEC, or there's a Midwestern equivalent that I probably am about to butcher, something about like the Big Ten. I think that's actually West
Coast. Oh yeah, Big Ten. Yep.
Okay. See, okay, so college football for me is my favorite because I like to be like attached to the team, right? And I have a strong connection to the school I went to, which is University of Mississippi, also known as Ole Miss.
I was going to ask, is that the same?
It is the same, yeah. Ole Miss.
The very same. Cool.
I could go on about the name. Even Ole Miss is sort of steeped in references to like plantation life. Mm. Ole Miss is what slaves called the plantation owner's wife. And as until I think maybe when I was in high school, our mascot that was a Colonel Rebel, which is just like basically this cartoon character of a white plantation owner. And wow. The Rebels, like we're the Ole Miss Rebels, is a reference to just, yeah, like Confederate forces. I guess that, like, I don't know. I've been trying to do some Civil War research, but I haven't learned enough about it to tell you what rebels are. But I mean, you can kind of intuit.
I know. I'm like, if they're rebelling the Confederacy, like, go off.
Right. Right. Period. I think that it's probably not that.
Oh, I mean, yeah. If you look at the history and where it is,
because yeah, succeeding from the Union or whatever, or however the fuck that worked. Yeah, anyway, so like I said, I could go on and on about Ole Miss, but that's literally like not what I'm here to do today at all. But I am curious. I asked about your brother and your dad because I was just wondering like if they like the Bears or...
Oh, yeah. They're the Bears guys. And they do like the NFL more than like college. But my brother went to like a Big Ten school, so he went to Iowa and it was... exciting, and like DePaul doesn't have a football team, and I went to one college football game my whole life to visit when I visited my friends in Madison, Wisconsin, another Big Ten
college football
game. So he's really immersed, much more immersed in the culture than I was. And my dad played college ball at a small school, like what's it like, D3. I was like, what's the lowest division? D3.
I think you nailed it. So when you went to your football game, your singular experience, did you know what was happening in the game?
Not at all. I was very drunk, and there's all these like traditions that like the students knew to do. Like there's
totally
jump around, and my friends who went there were like, okay, do this. And I was like, what? No idea what was going on the field. Was excited by the marching band and the cheerleaders though. I fully do not understand how the sport of football works. Like,
so this getting past ahead of Sunday, ourselves, by,
like Ice Spice at the.
You were focused. I mean, there's a lot of other things on the Super Bowl to like be entertained by, but did you watch parts of the game?
I watched most of the game, yes. And Ice Spice was in the box with Taylor, and there were all these memes of people like explaining what was going on to her, and I was like, she is so into that. So it was funny.
I got that same vibe, like, whenever Taylor was overly exaggerated in her, like, emotive reactions to, like, a crazy play, Ice Spice's face would just be, like, the same.
She'd be like, huh?
Just same girl. Like, lost in thought about something else. So, I am also curious, tell me about your history with being a fan of Taylor Swift.
So I'm a little bit newer to the fold, which like I'm trying to like right the wrongs of my past. Like Folklore came out in 2020 and I was like, okay, I'm taking this girl seriously. Like this album is having me like grieving life events that haven't happened and like all these things. Like I was like so in it. And some background, I was like the hugest Kanye fan. So I was like a built-in Taylor hater until I think flip-flopped in the right direction because he's like gone off the deep end. And totally. Her music keeps getting better and his is getting worse. So it's like, that's, you know, follow the talent. But I am a newer Swiftie, and I came into the Swiftie arena very strong to make
yeah, up I was about for to all say, this lost like, time. I wasn't sure how you were gonna answer the question, but because I do find you to be like a very strong Swiftie in the current day. I'm similarly a new fan, and it was actually not Folklore randomly. It was the Red Taylor's version.
Okay, love.
That got me in. So the first Taylor Swift album that I really like top to bottom fell in love with was Red. And that was just a couple years ago in the pandemic when that was out. It was a time, I think it was a time in the pandemic where things were starting to open back up a little bit. I was going into the office and made like a brand new group of work friends that were from different departments because we were the only people in all like 7 floors of the building that had the desire to be in the office. And we would go to the office and like, you know, take advantage of all of their free food and alcohol. And they were obsessed with Taylor. So I just kind of observed through them and learned, much like going to a football game that you don't understand, they tell you, you know, when to jump and do your best to keep up, and
like
eventually
call and repeats like 1, 2, 3 let's go bitch for like that Reputation song. I learned so much so quickly, and I'm like, wow, quick learner, putting that on the resume, because I was like, I feel like people are surprised sometimes when they don't know me that well when they find out I'm like a newer fan. But I think I was just by nature for years. I'm like mad at myself for not letting like high school me like totally immerse in the Taylor that was out at the time, because I love it.
So I was at the Eras Tour for one day, which honestly blew me away.
Me too.
Like the energy in the room, not the room, the energy in the stadium, even just the sky, the night I went, or the afternoon, evening, whatever, it was such a beautiful sunset. And
when'd you go?
It was the first Friday date, so I guess like it was a
Friday. We were at the same one. It was so beautiful that day.
Okay, so you get it, because the Lover section was at the beginning, and you know, like everyone kind of was really giving Lover and their outfits, I felt, on Friday night in my section. At least
it was like very like pastels and like soft.
Yes. And the sky also was like the most beautiful sunset, just like her fucking album cover. So her whole, like, I really started to buy into her being like a genius right then and there, because I was like, oh, she definitely controlled the weather and made it so that these clouds would come in the sky, like while she was singing, you know, like Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince.
Oh my God, right? I'm like, our detail oriented queen. She takes it to the next level by controlling the weather, because every detail needs to be perfect, and it's not, it's like for us, which I'm like, thanks girl.
I haven't,
just know she cares.
I mean, she definitely thinks about it, and I agree. I feel like there have been some Swifties that have kind of like turned on her a bit recently.
I'm like, internalized misogyny question mark.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? The way that Victoria Beckham was treated when David Beckham was, or, you know, the way Posh Spice was treated by Britain when she started dating David Beckham.
Okay, I did not realize, because I, like, didn't have my finger on the pulse of pop culture, like, at that time, even though I was, like, and I was, like, the biggest Spice Girls fan, that I was, like, wasn't open to even entertaining any ideas of them getting any sort of criticism, even when like Ginger left. I was like,
yeah, I only learned about this recently, but I mean,
and you're probably too young at the time.
I was too young. And too. I don't know, I mean, basically the way I looked at it was, you know, these women like Posh Spice and Taylor Swift dominate a certain part of culture that in both countries is a huge part of just the public consciousness. Mm-hmm. But then there's sort of the yin to the yang of either country's like range of interests is sports. And if you like loathe pop culture, like sports can kind of be like your world that makes you feel like you're not insane every day.
Yeah, like connected to something.
Yeah. And it's one thing for Taylor Swift to dominate like the pop culture hemisphere, but then to be both in the sports channels and the, entertainment, like cultural channels, I think it's the same thing that happened to Victoria Beckham, basically. Like, I mean, just like this year and last year for Taylor, like when Posh Spice and David Beckham were dating, the news was obsessed with reporting on it. They
Oh,
knew that they
yeah.
could get, I mean, I don't think they got clicks back then, but whatever the like early
Physical paper
2000s.
sales, National
Yeah.
Enquirer, or the.
Paper sales, sure, magazine
Yeah.
sales, all of that. Yeah, it's like this previous iteration of like whatever we have now, where,
Like
if
tabloid
people
culture
want
and
to read it, then we're
Britney,
gonna make it. And if even if they're rage bait,
too.
and people are obsessed with hating her. Like, it's funny because people kind of know me to be a Taylor Swift fan, which I kind of didn't use the term Swiftie for some time. Like, even when I went to the Eras Tour and after, I was like, I'm not a Swiftie. I really like studied for this like it was a test. Like,
Yeah, kind of was though.
I
Being
was
Swiftie.
not aware, and I felt like if I showed up unprepared, I wouldn't have a good time. And the only reason I went was because a friend like got me tickets, and they got them for the original like $100 price. So
Which
everyone
is so
assumes that I
slay.
like.
I got lucky too with like regular prices. My friend got two tickets.
Okay, work. And like, no one wants to
School
talk about
bus.
that. No one wants to talk about the fact that we actually fought our way to the prices that we deserved and avoided the like scalper epidemic.
Oh gosh, that is, I'm like a scourge on society. I'm so upset with just
Bitch.
the state of
Sorry, can I call
ticketing. You may call me bitch.
Okay, bitch. So there's this place on Ashland Avenue that literally does this. It's called Red Line Tickets. And
Oh.
I know about this because when I was unemployed, I responded to a Craigslist ad for an office assistant position and worked there for one day where they had me go on to a computer that had six different monitors, open up multiple IP addresses on each monitor on the fastest computer I've ever used, so that as soon as tickets went on sale for something, I could have 12 different fake like avatar like people all on the same website, so that when you're waiting in a line to buy tickets, I'm actually like 12 spots in line, and then each one of those you can max out like buy all six. So in
I'm
5 minutes
shook.
I could buy like what? Like 50 or 60 tickets, where like kind of you're working around the system that was put in place to prevent that by having all of these IP addresses. I quit. It was so
That's so awful. Like
literally it is, and but the gag,
capitalism at its worst.
and you go to a first day of work and you're like, okay, I need to not speak up, listen, do as I'm told, and learn the processes, and kind of don't engage in too much critical thinking. So while I was doing it, I really didn't feel like I was actually having fun, because it is like you're a hacker. It feels like
Hacking the
that.
mainframe, yeah.
Totally. And I was
I'd be
like,
like, let me slip one of these tickets into my like Ticketmaster account if that was something you wanted to
yeah.
see.
Ugh. But basically, yeah, there was a one thing where we had to have a text sent to our phone number on file to confirm, that we could get in line. So that was something that made it a little bit more difficult for us, because you have to not only have 12 IP addresses, you have to have 12 phone numbers now.
So
So
you're like
they.
getting like the Google phone number, and it's like you gotta track all that.
What they had me do, I went to this closet in the corner of the office. They pulled out this huge black cylinder, and it had, they like flipped a switch, and it was filled with SIM cards, and all these red lights start popping up, and it activated in that little machine like 50 different phones.
Oh my
And
gosh.
then on another computer across the like room, the another employee had an app pulled up that had the inboxes for the text messages of all 50 phones. So when we were dealing with that morning of buying whatever the fuck we were buying, someone had to kind of yell across the room, like, "All right, I've got the text code for fake person number 12." And I was like, "Oh, I'm number 12." And then they'll be like, "All right, 5746." I take 5746, and then she starts helping the next person. So that was like a workaround that they had already established so that, they could continue to outsmart these sites and then just basically resell all of the tickets that they bought on.
StubHub, all those, like
Yeah.
just,
SeatGeek,
it's,
StubHub, that shit, like
yeah, and like the
Game
prices are
Time or.
like 10 times the original cost. Like a $200 ticket's $2,000, and it's like people want to see her so bad, at least for Taylor, that they'll pay that, which is crazy.
Yeah, and that is their entire business model at any of these. And
So predatory. I
I
hate
really assumed
that.
that this would kind of go on in like people's residential homes, but
Me too.
no, they
Or
pay
like it was
rent like a
like just
legit
a code
business.
running.
It's near the Ulta, I think. And on the other side of the street is just like Redline tickets, and little would you know, like that's what they're doing, So, okay. Yeah, basically my friend got helped me, similar to you, get the good regular price that we were supposed to get, and the tickets, yeah, I could have resold them for $3,000 or whatever, but I
I
would be
wanted to go
doing
so
my
bad.
friend dirty by like sticking them with a stranger when they like were doing something nice for me. So I wasn't gonna do that. I never like even considered it, and I had such a good time, but like, yeah, I felt like I had to study. So I was like, I'm gonna listen to all of her albums and just kind of see what I like. And I kind of got obsessed with like ranking my favorite shit and just made the experience that much more fulfilling and enjoyable. And anyway, ever since then, I've really found that I had to reclaim the term Swiftie, like it was a slur
Yeah,
or something.
reclaim.
You
And I
like.
was a reluctant Swiftie at first. So I was like, I mean, I was like making up for lost time, but I was also like, am I gonna be, can I say Swiftie yet? But it was like, I
Yeah.
did what you did. I listened to every single album and like memorized things. And I was like, okay, like what else would you call this? So yeah, we'll reclaim. We'll make it like, if anyone thinks it's like a negative thing, it's like grow up kind of too. Like you're allowed to like music. It's not a reason to like judge people.
Oh my God, it's hard out here. It's truly like every time I leave my house, people are like throwing cans of food at me and like
Tomato,
trying
tomato,
to
tomato.
push me down staircases. It's horrible. And they call me Swiftie, so you know what? I'll just call myself Swiftie and take their power away.
Stay strong.
Anyway, I was thinking about everyone was trying to figure out when she's going from Tokyo to the States. I was singing to myself, like, thinking about how much faster my private jet could fly if I was a man. If I were a man. I'm like,
He
yes.
is the man. Her
Anyway, I
private
think it's
jet got
like.
her in record time. Got her the, actually, I think it was normal, but yeah.
So, I mean, I think even a Swiftie can agree that she's experiencing overexposure.
Yeah, it makes me nervous because I like, I don't know, I don't like take it personally when people are like, Taylor Swift's annoying. I'm not, it's like, you're not, if you were calling me annoying by saying she's annoying, I'm like, okay. But yes, it seems like there's going to be a big societal kind of like shift, which is what happened already in like 2016 or 17 for her.
Well, that's what I was about to bring up, is that have you heard the theory that she is making America hate her on purpose so that she can
I heard this,
re-release
yeah.
Reputation
Like, whatever it takes, Chica.
and then like do the same victory lap of having regained the adoration of the country after, being scorned for her girlish ways?
I wonder, because, like, the where she is now, like, she has, like, found a higher mountaintop like than she was like from where she had fallen before. So I'm like, I don't want like the fall to be greater too, but I just feel like she's like at such a height in the culture and like in this country and around the world, honestly.
Yeah. And
that I'm like, if the world turns on her, will it be like a bigger fall? But I'm also like, is that even possible? Because she's reached such great heights and are like that. I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, she's not got money. So, and she's got like obviously a work ethic and I don't know.
Good product. We love it. We got a new album coming. We got Reputation coming eventually. Debut re-record. Like, she's busy and we're busy listening.
And I wonder, like, whenever she wins awards, I feel like sometimes I'll feel like she is kind of embarrassed sometimes. Like, at the first, of course, she loved getting awards, but I feel like, not to be dramatic, but, like, traumatized her, the experience mm-hmm. of, like, being on that kind of stage with, you know, the VMAs or Grammys or whatever. Yeah. And I feel like she has to really overcome her own, like, anxiousness about returning to those stages and comes across as like freakish because she's really like trying to move past that trauma in whatever like way she can. I don't know. That's like kind of how I see her. So I don't really think I can fully co-sign that she's purposely tanking her reputation.
Me either. I think she's too earnest. I mean, she is definitely a calculator and like a shrewd businesswoman, but like I think what happened before Reputation came out, I think she was like seriously, I think that was a traumatizing time for her, like the leaked phone call and everything. And so like why would she do that to herself again? Because it did that not help her career at the time.
I really feel like that was one of Kim's worst moments looking back.
Oh, my Libra sister, I was like, why are you doing this?
And I feel like it's because her marriage was failing with Kanye and she wanted to do one last ditch effort to show Kanye that she was in his court and she wanted to like be like a good wife. So she made it a point to put aside her normal, I don't know, mode of interacting with other celebs so that she could save her marriage, which obviously didn't work out. But looking back, like, and I remember at the time I was like living for the drama. But
me too.
And it's not like something that like keeps me up at night, obviously. No. But it's now just like
kind of sad,
girl. Whatever.
Like, all that for this man who like won't get mental health treatment and is espousing like some really really problematic like ideas to his millions of fans.
Yeah,
but
I mean
they have kids together too, so I get like maybe wanting to keep a family together, but he was not the one.
Yeah, I think fame has melted Kanye's brain, and it's something I have compassion for. I don't think I would be good at being famous either.
I'd be terrible. I'd be canceled like before it started.
Yeah, I'd be like
I'm too sensitive. I need to be like on like tranquilizers every day to exist.
Same. Oh my god, I feel that. So anyway, I mean it's not for everybody, and
no,
I don't like envy Taylor.
Intoxicating and destructive. Like I'm like, girl, are you sure you want to be this famous? Like you can't even ride it for security reasons, couldn't get on a commercial flight.
I was thinking about
like, probably ever again.
If I was at an award show as a celeb and was seated near Taylor Swift, I would be so happy because I couldn't know that she would be the lightning rod for the public's negativity and would make me kind of liked in contrast or at least ignored.
Yeah. And, like you'd be a more neutral party.
Yeah. So I would be like, sit me next to Taylor Swift so that I know that like I kind of am safe from negativity because she's going to absorb all of it.
Like the most critical eyes are all on her.
Right. Like, and that's
always, why I feel which like has to Lana... be exhausting. So I'm like, I feel for you, girl.
Yeah. And I do too. And I think that Lana was fully appreciative of being near Taylor for not for like that exact like reasoning, but it's kind of, I feel like when someone around you is being that like drunk and freakish and like embarrassing. It makes, but they're not embarrassed about it themselves. They're shameless. Like, it kind of allows you to let go of your own walls that are keeping you from having fun at this party. So I feel like the way people are attributing to, and maybe I'm guilty of doing this for Taylor, but people really like want to believe that Lana is heartbroken about things, or that somebody like tackled her in the stands, and now that she has like a broken arm, and it's just,
oh, that's just a rumor.
Yeah, it's totally made up. I mean, it's like a full photoshopped, a fake Instagram post and tweeted it to make it people think that like she actually broke her arm, which is, you know, mad respect for the the commitment to getting online attention through pop culture, because that's what I'm doing too.
Oh my gosh, I have not like gotten off X, formerly known as Twitter, because there's just been such, people are so creative. Like, there's just been such like funny memes and like definitely misinformation too, like broken arm Lana, but it has been fun.
Yeah, I miss it. I'm going into my 30s without my, and yeah, I'm an addict. I'm an ex addict. So,
well, that sounds healthy, because I spend way too much time on Twitter when I could be reading a book and broadening my horizons, but definitely want to get my screen time down. We'll see. As I'm 30 now and I'm like, what has changed? We need to fix our media diet.
Right. And well, now I just spend all of my time like watching YouTube videos about like Travis Kelce's astrology chart.
And what's his sign?
He's a Libra, like you.
Oh my goodness. They say Libra and Sagittarius, which is what Taylor is, are like destined.
His moon is Sagittarius also.
My rising.
And he's born in 1989.
Wait.
Which in Chinese astrology is the year of the snake.
Reputation.
Right.
And Taylor is obviously 1989 too.
Right. Kim Kardashian thinks that she came up with the snake thing, but actually that was Chinese people in astrology like thousands of years ago. They literally ago were like, okay, 1989, you're the snake.
But also, I don't even think of the snake with Kim anymore. I fully think of like Taylor's reclamation, and it's like a positive thing. Like when that snake's like the...
Right.
Like the graphics of that snake during the tour slithered onto the stage. Like people were gooped. I mean, I was. I think Reputation like altered my brain chemistry and cured future depression that hasn't hit yet.
Yeah, you have a positive in your bank account. You have like a get out of mental health crisis free card.
I know. I'm like, how much worse would have I been lately if like didn't see Taylor in June?
Okay, so just to get us back on track, what's your take on Taylor and Travis? Do you think that their relationship is legit, or that it's, you know, for other reasons?
Okay, so I've been like trying not to buy too much into that, because I'm like, if it is fake, like that kind of sucks. Like these are people's lives. And if it's real, like, okay, cool, go off, girl. I mean, I hope she's like getting dick down, like,
yeah,
I'm jealous. Like, he's so hot.
I mean,
but I saw a video that kind of changed my opinion on it. Like,
oh, really?
It was from this game, and it was like there was audio of them like hugging at the end, and it just sounded so sweet and like genuine.
Yeah,
that's and nice. Just like made me feel ooey gooey inside in a good way. Like when your own friends like find
you.
So I hope it's real for their sake. Cause like how fun.
No, I literally have. Had a similar moment. It wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was the playoff game that I was watching, and I felt very happy, and I wasn't interested in questioning whether or not it like was earned through an artificial source, because I mean I can cry from watching a fictional movie and still be having a, you know, emotional experience.
Yeah,
like whatever. And you know, I think in real life for regular people, part of finding a partner can be a mutually beneficial like thing that you spot out and consider as an option because it's mutually beneficial, and then if you don't 100%. connect, then you move on, but it's gonna be a reason to consider someone a bit more if you have other benefits lined up for you. And there is, of course, like the incentive to stay together. Like, I think that they would be smart to hide it if there are other things happening in their relationship. Like, maybe they have a week where they're fighting. I think it's advantageous to them to conceal their ups and downs and put on a face of happy.
And for their own, like,
yeah,
survival as a couple also, like, can't share the whole thing with the world because then it won't be yours.
Well, right. So, and they're good at,
but yeah. Well,
Taylor at least is, you know, good at having her default public ready persona that isn't like a drain on her, in the sense that, like, if I had to be that aware of every move I made for hours at a time, like, it would really, like, wear me out. I think she's just so...
Oh my God, I would collapse. It sounds exhausting beyond.
Right. And so, like, whatever. Like, she's already good at that. And I definitely have had moments where I would be reading people saying, you know, that it was a PR move. I mean, the extreme end of that is people that believe that it's the DNC because they're pushing the vaccine, like, because Pfizer is using Travis Kelce in advertisements and Taylor Swift has such pull on the country in certain ways. So it was like, oh, the NFL and the DNC and Pfizer and, like, all of them are in on it together. So
that is so weird to me, because it's like, if the DNC was, like, using Taylor and Travis, like, don't you think they'd be, like, pushing a greater agenda, like, trying to get Joe Biden reelected while his approval is in the shitter? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, for vaccines, like, I feel like even, like, the powers that be on the supposed left in this country don't care about the vaccine anymore. It's just, like, a couple scientists and all of us who don't want to die, but, like, not people with power.
Right. I mean, it's certainly somebody's job and many people's jobs to think about how to improve, you know, Pfizer's public image and, like you said, Joe Biden's image. And yeah, there's plenty of people that are in the process of trying to mastermind.
Taylor song.
Oh yeah, mastermind.
I was like, words don't belong to the dictionary anymore. They're like, once Taylor uses it.
Mm-hmm. That, I know, every time that the 49ers would come up, I'd be like, I don't like a gold rush. Gold
rush.
Oh
my gosh. Gold rush. I didn't even put that together because San Francisco, that's...
Yeah, the 1849, that's like the peak year of the gold rush.
In the gold rush. Wait,
The feeling of, wait, my face in a red flush. I don't, everybody wants to touch. I wish I could sing it better, but I think it's actually a really cute song. I like it.
That's one of my favorite from Evermore for sure.
Okay, same. So I understand why someone is like, oh, all these people are working together, but they're not using their words very well, because the correct way to describe what's happening is not as... I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying? I feel like I can't put this into words because they're not wrong.
Like the DNC would have some sort of agenda?
I guess, like, actually, if I just think about it like that, how many dots would I have to connect to get there?
Get the red tape out or the red string.
Right. That's what I do. And so it's not hard for me to, like, pick up on what they're putting down, because I like to play those games in my head anyway.
Oh, me too. And I feel like there's so much under the table we don't know, and, like, so much behind closed doors of, like, Taylor and NFL in general, because it's, like, literally a pillar of American and almost, like, global society, or it's so it seems, because it's just such a big deal that there's just all this, like, stuff, the invisible hand, even though I think that's for something else, but I don't remember history class, but it's,
is
like
that a Taylor Swift song yet? I feel like
invisible string, so maybe we'll get,
that's what I'm thinking of,
on Folklore too there'll be the invisible hand. I need to look up what that means. I totally forgot, but I remember learning about that in history.
I honestly probably know, I know the least about Evermore. I mean Folklore, actually. Fuck. Both of them. Honestly, like, the albums that I know about the most are Red, Lover, Reputation. Those are my top three, probably.
Those are some of my favorites, too. And then Folklore and Evermore, for sure. I was I secretly liked 1989 when it came out. I was a junior in college studying abroad, and my roommate played it all the time. And I was like, stop, but don't stop. I loved it. Okay, the invisible hand is a metaphor for how in a free market economy, self-interested individuals operate through a system of mutual interdependence.
Wait, okay, I feel like that's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, this interdependence incentivizes producers to make what is socially necessary, even though they may only care about their own well-being.
Duh, yeah, of course. That's like energy. That's why you feel vibes from people, because all of that shit is happening like invisibly. Mm-hmm. So the vibes at the Super Bowl, what I was kind of picking up on was at the very end of the game, the plays were being done in such a unbelievably climactic, dramatic, like last second, trying to get 4 yards of progress to get a score that would make you the winner. At the 13th yard line,
no less. I don't even know what that means, but I remember I saw something like 13. I was like, Taylor's number.
Yeah. No, I'm in my head, even thinking on it from like the football end, completely independently of Taylor Swift, I'm wondering, like, are they invested in some way in making the flow of this game be more exciting because you want to retain the viewers so you can get money for your advertisers? Like, obviously, advertisements at the Super Bowl.
Like, it's a production. It's not just, like, a game. Like, I'm sure, like, some of the outcomes were sort of, like, pushed. Like, the coaches were told by the whatever to be like, all right, so we're gonna do this kind of crazy cool dramatic stuff, keep it exciting, make it like a movie,
right?
So people watch ads.
That's how I felt about it. It felt like a movie. It felt so over the top, like climactic, because I feel like when you just watch a random game of sports, like there's a lot, it's kind of like boring and doesn't have that sort of pizzazz to it. But the end of that game, it was like doing it again and again and again. And so they went into overtime at 19-19 because the Chiefs finally said, okay, fuck it, we have 3 seconds left and we can't get this damn touchdown done, so let's just get a field goal, tie it at 19, force overtime. And I'm like, okay, now we have 15 more minutes, which is really like an hour in football time.
I know, I was like, overtime's 15 minutes, that's so crazy, that's long.
And then
I
the entire so time we're gonna be on like Sunday, on the edge of our seats waiting to see if one team makes a move that gets them the title, because whether you know how football works or not, like, you know that a lot of people are interested in who wins, and that is about to be determined very quickly. And I saw like Drake, I think, bet on the Chiefs and he won like $3 million or something.
Oh my god.
Because he just bet so much. He posted a screenshot of it on Instagram and said, never bet against the Swifties. And all like, right, that's
good for him. Correct... He's trying to get her on a track.
Right. And it's like, look, if you bet for the 49ers because you wanted to make your bets based on certain kind of analysis that was independent of pop culture and astrology or whatever. Actually, the astrologists I were looking at was looking at predicted the 49ers would win, but
wow,
they were wrong.
Literally never bet against Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I kind of felt about it. And
like, I'm fine with that. I mean, I didn't bet at all, but if I'm like, if I did, of course I was gonna bet on the Chiefs.
Right. I don't know. So intellectually, I am curious to kind of break down the logistics of how a coach or a referee could make these moments as exciting as they are. Because there's this part of football that really I haven't gotten to understand yet. Although I fully understand like first downs, fourth downs, like scoring. What I get tripped up on is the clocks, and then when somebody does a play, how long do those clocks keep ticking? And what I learned that's kind of helped me a tiny bit is that if you have the ball and you run out of bounds with it because you're, you know, trying to escape the like 250-pound man like running after you or whatever,
he's gonna, like, give you a brain injury that makes you kill your family.
Literally. So whenever you're in that position, you run out of bounds, your clock stops. The tick tick goes away. But
so that's like could be like a strategy for something.
Yes, that is a better thing to happen than to get tackled and then the play is over because the ball is dead, but the clock continues to tick down. And when you have 10 yards to go and 30 seconds left and you've tried like three times in a row to get that play, that magic play that gets you the points to determine like that you're the winners of the Super Bowl, those seconds matter a lot. And so I cannot figure out for the life of me how they determine when the timers stop, other than the rule I mentioned, which is when they run out of bounds, the timer stops. But aside from that, you'll even see them change it. You'll see them add time back. You'll see like the numbers going at a pace that's not even in sync with each other, or like, because there'll be two different timers. And I'm like, it literally appears that they are making sure the clock shows the number that creates the most suspense. And
oh my god, I bet they do.
Like, and I don't know who is in charge of that, like, because the referees aren't
big football.
The referees definitely do make calls, but they're not the ones like pushing the buttons for the timers, I don't think. So is it something behind the scenes, or and how much do the ref and the coach get involved in that? Like, I think referees get a lot of heat because they're just like an obvious target for people to say that, like, I mean, and sometimes there are bad referees, but I'm not sure if they're the only people that we should be wondering about in terms of...
Oh, I bet it's way above their head, like the franchise team owners and like head coaches, and
they're like a foot soldier of something else. If there's something sinister happening, they're not the top of the food chain. They're
no, like, they're just like a mouthpiece or like a henchman kind of.
Right. So that does make me think that the game is manipulated. So to go further and ask, is the game itself rigged? That's something where you could bring in the referees, you know? A referee can make a decision that makes that big of a difference.
Like Deflategate, I remember that, and I don't know much about football.
I don't remember that.
It was like with something with Tom Brady. I don't remember if he was on the Patriots.
I feel like he was on the Patriots, and then he went to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think maybe it was during the Patriot era. The balls were not regulation filled, like they were too, I don't know, so they were like that affected the physics of like throwing the ball and whatever.
It's like Swifties are gonna get made fun of because we like the number 13, but then football fans are using terms like deflate gate to talk
know,
about
it's like
their whatever crazy shit's going on in their like understanding of this sport. I'm like, okay,
like you're just as obsessed. It's just like, yeah, ours is like fun music and yours is men in tight pants, which is fun too. It's
like, yeah, I actually really do like football. Like, I like almost football. My problem is just having a team that I care about.
Yeah.
And celebrities.
They trade players so often.
Yeah. And like, I don't.
That
I mean,
sucks.
I don't know. Chicago Bears, I just cannot get attached to.
I think they're
really
supposed
can't.
To be, like, really bad. And it's, like, I've asked my dad and brother, I'm like, why are they not winning? Why are they so bad? Like, shouldn't everyone in the NFL be amazing? And they were like, it's the coaching. It's the blah. They're not getting the top two. I don't know. They had a million reasons for why they aren't good. And I was like, wow. I guess it goes a lot deeper than I ever would think.
I think that they found the worst combination of blue and orange has ever been put together when they designed the Bears merchandise. I like Soldier Field. I'll give them that.
I wish it was not so far away, but yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Beyonce there too and had a great time. So I'm like, thank you for bringing the girlies to us.
But I think it's one of the smallest like NFL stadiums because a lot of the other ones are built further away from the city. And
so they have more room to like,
So I mean, the days are numbered for when they build a new stadium.
I know. I was hearing like Arlington Heights or some suburb.
Oh my God. I need somebody to like give me a test on Chicago suburbs because they all sound the same. And it's like, as much as I try and people tell me and I'll ask them again, it's like when you can't remember someone's name because like as soon as they tell me what suburb they're from, my brain erases it immediately.
Like, cause
the right, because it's just like everything is Oak Lawn, Lawn, Brook, so Brook Lane, like Oak,
the suburbs.
Like it's just the same five or six words like shuffled around. I can't even
Oak
remember.
Lawn, Oak Brook Terrace, Northbrook, Glenview, Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights, I can remember. I can remember Arlington Heights for some reason.
Because the football might be moved there. No, I'm from Vernon Hills, which kind of sounds like Arlington Heights because it has the H, Heights and Hills.
See, and I already, it's not that far. Just said it, and I already forgot it. I remember Hills. Okay. Though. Hills is
Vernon
unique
Thrills.
Enough.
Vernon Thrills.
You don't have many hills here in this area in terms of
there's
the
like
names.
One hill in Vernon Hills, so.
There's like a hill in the entire state of Illinois, and I have not found it.
It's in Vernon Hills, Big Bear Hill. It's not that big though.
Oh, well, now I know. Literally, Mississippi hills are kind of everywhere, and they're really pretty. And I got to say, it's, like, one of my least favorite things about Chicago is the lack
it's
of.
It's so flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's flat without expansive sky. So you normally go somewhere that has a flat horizon, and you end up having an expansive sky because there's nothing obstructing it. But in Chicago, it's flat and you still don't have that much sky because there's like buildings everywhere.
Yeah.
It's such a, then the buildings are beautiful. And like, that's where I'll like come in and say Chicago is so clean and beautiful and well designed in some aspects. And I think it's just like a great city and more cities should take note.
Chicago yeah. forever. I love it.
I'll remember that you're the one person in the state that like has ever seen a hill.
I'll take that as a badge of honor.
That's what I'm gonna have to do to remember like what suburbs people are from, because the only reason I know Arlington Heights is because somebody called it Arlington Whites.
Oh my god, that makes so much sense.
And it clicked immediately and I was like, okay, I get it, like thank you. Now I'll remember that one forever. But yeah, to get us back to like watching sports being fun, it's fun. It's like those moments that we're describing where you're on the edge of your seat and some,
like, I want the drama. Yeah. Like, I want it to be exciting.
Otherwise, I like the
what
heartbreak.
Am I here for? I'd rather watch TV.
I like the miracle celebrations.
Yeah. Like I love sports movies, but I don't take time out of my life usually to like watch an actual game, which I'm like, Damn. Oh, but this one felt like a movie. Because it had, like, excitement, even though I didn't totally understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm. I was,
you
like...
You just, like, follow the vibe. People are screaming and cheering. Something, like, is happening then.
I was watching this this overtime on the Super Bowl, like, glued to the TV, and I was like, I think I've seen this film before. Yeah. Viva Las Vegas! That was me.
Travis like screaming.
Yeah. What did he scream?
He gave me the ick. I think he did say that. And then there's like that video of him yelling at his coach. I was like, I got like such like this like protective thing of like, do you yell at Taylor like that? Do you yell at your mother like that? I was so upset. And then I saw really sweet that sweet video of them like being sweet, and I was like, okay, my ick is gone. I hope. I'm sure it's just a heat of the game thing and toxic bro culture, which I'm sure is rampant in football, so.
Well, yeah, you know, like, very similar experience when I was not sure if the Chiefs were going to pull it out because they had several chances to make this happen. And that was why I started to feel like, damn, this does feel rigged. Why are they getting 1,000 chances? And it's also partially just because coaches know how to strategically make plays that maximize the number of chances they have, save it until the very last second to do the field goal. We know how to work the clocks, and I guess they like argue with people if they feel like the clocks are wrong, and it's like on the coaches to kind of make sure that they're getting their fair shake on the way that they're trying to manipulate the rules to maximize yeah. their number of chances.
To produce the game, essentially.
Yeah, and that's, like, when it gets really good. And anyway, but whenever that was happening, I was like, fuck, like, if the Chiefs lose, people are going to hate Taylor Swift so much more. And I was worried. And whenever the Chiefs won, I was just like, I felt happiness, but that was less about the sports aspect of it and was straight up just like happiness that I didn't have to imagine her getting,
like, Taylor getting blamed for the loss. And I was also thinking, though, like, if they lose, like, what, Taylor doesn't want to be with a loser, she'll break up with him. But I think, like, their relationship is outside of the game, hopefully, too, so she wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. I really don't know. I really think that that's the kind of thing that would be difficult when you're a celeb, because it's not just yeah. about your feelings about, you know, if she obviously...
Your approval ratings, like the president.
Yeah, and she's not gonna, like, Travis isn't going to blame Taylor as if she was, like, a curse, yeah. but so many people...
The culture might.
Will, and yeah. he will have to deal with the cultural repercussions in some yeah, way like or another, impact. And then that, you know, in turn kind of makes it an issue in your relationship. So... immediately also like, oh, like, they're so cute, like, and happy for them. Like, I like feeling like a, you know, pure-hearted American that's rooting for
yeah,
the like, man and the woman to get together love. And win yeah. the awards and, like, have their dreams come true and have a sweet moment. I'm like, I love it. I love it.
Cute.
It is. I want it to be sweet and happy and not, like, this man yells.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're projecting too, like, for myself, like, oh my God, I want this happiness Taylor has. I mean, maybe not like dating a NFL football player and like winning Grammys, but I'm just like, I want it to be like positive. I'm like, oh, I don't want a partner who yells at me or yells at his boss, because that's kind of weird, unless the boss deserved it. His coach.
Yeah, I missed that part. I missed a lot.
Oh, I was like so upset. I was like, what am I seeing right now?
Ooh.
I had a major ick, and then
yeah,
he absolved himself of that sin when I saw him being sweet to Tay.
Right, being on the edge of my seat that night, like, was hinging on a lot. It was not. Yeah, it was the game and the like cultural ramifications.
Like, stakes. Yeah, like,
yeah.
In a way, I feel like there hasn't really been, at least for me.
Right.
I mean, my last, like, Super Bowl that mattered to me was when, like, Lady Gaga did the halftime show. And that wasn't about, I couldn't even tell you who was playing in that Super Bowl.
So, an interesting thing that I was just reading about, like, a conspiracy about how to kind of make sure that this could be the most watched Super Bowl in history or something, or make a ton of money. It was mm-hmm. that, and they made it, okay. If you think about all the teams going from before the playoffs, like at the beginning of the season, maybe having like an alliance in a way, similar to like how you in Survivor, you can have a final yeah. three. And like, let's say there's 8 teams left before it's determined who's going to the Super Bowl. And you have an alliance with like a few of them. You can kind of work together to protect each other in one way or another through what means, I don't know, but I can kind of imagine what it could look like to make a move to prevent a team from winning somehow mm-hmm. or even do something that might seem to be out of your best interest in a way, because you're protecting someone in your alliance. And then once you get to the top 4 or whatever, it's all bets are off and we're each fighting for ourselves. But some people believe that like some force carried the Chiefs to
yeah
the Super Bowl. And
I mean, I can get behind that.
I don't know, yeah, but it makes sense. Like, I don't know yeah. if they're
like watching shared... it on TV, it makes sense to me.
Do you watch Survivor a lot at all?
I don't watch Survivor, but I'm watching The Traitors right now, and I know there's Survivor people in it. And yeah. It's like, there's definitely like a lot of gameplay. And I'm a huge fan of the Bachelor franchise, and these podcasters I love like analyze each episode of the Bachelor like a sports game. Like the contestants are called players, and each thing they do is like a play. And I'm like, there's strategy in everything. So if it's in reality TV, that's sure as heck in actual sports games that are all about strategy. And it's like, but what happens off the field too, I think can definitely be part of it.
No, I think that that makes a lot of sense. And I think, I don't know, we're like, if we are at a place where the reality TV model has corrupted the integrity of something within sports, it would have been years after it, like, it happened to politics already. Like, it happened to politics so long ago. Like, presidential debates have been so based on this sort of clickbait mode of making an event like a blockbuster success
and not the actual like
you're on TV
to want somebody on the ballot and what we want them to accomplish.
Right. You're on TV to win. You're on TV to win the ratings by a lot of different means you're willing to consider. And if that means sacrificing the integrity of a presidential debate, like, whatever, it's already happened. And then with...
I don't even associate integrity with a presidential debate or campaign anymore.
No, just... and I don't think I ever lived in a time
where we could have.
So it's like, part of me is inclined to think that there was never any integrity, but part of me is just like, no, that maybe that's just because I've only lived in this certain era and can't like fully wrap my head around what it used to be like.
I know.
But it's funny that sports has ostensibly held out longer than politics in terms of like, if it is starting to be, I don't know, maybe it's been rigged for a while. And I guess
think about like pro wrestling, like that's literally scripted.
That's true.
And that's people actually know that true. And they still like it. They like the fun of it. So I'm like, I think fanatics about like the NFL, which is probably the biggest sport, professional sport in the United States at least, wouldn't want to think that. But I think other sports fans can be like okay with that. Like, oh, like, yeah, there are all these like strategic plays.
Yeah.
And maybe like survivor type alliances happening.
And yeah, it's even in wrestling. Like,
we
in
want
Japan.
The show to be exciting.
Like sumo wrestling, they do a thing where it's not like American wrestling where it's you're doing a full charade
show, yeah,
but it's, you know, based in honor and integrity. And then what it turns out that a lot of sumo wrestlers did was kind of guarantee that maybe for me to move on to the next round, I need to win like 4 out of these 7 games. Let's say I've already won 5. I already know that I'm moving on to the next round of this competition. So I might throw my like last win or two if it means that I can like rub someone else's back and it kind of like comes back around to you potentially.
It's like advantageous in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of a loss of integrity that happened a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So I think...
Oh, we're so jaded.
Yeah, I know.
This is the way the world works.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is called a Saturn return. We're just...
Oh.
We're turning 20, whatever. I'm almost 30, actually. I think I said that. Wait, you had your birthday recently. Or maybe it was a while ago, but...
No, weren't you at you were at my birthday party. Oh no, you might have been out of town.
I was at your birthday party.
Were
I was
my birthday
definitely
party?
There. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I saw you at Halloween, which was after.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was singing like Baruch Ata Adonai
Elohim. Oh yeah, we did. It was my bat mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
30. When's your birthday?
June 21st.
Oh, okay, so we have a little bit of time, but
right, been right.
Great. I love it. I'm like. But it's like the 20s. I get to shake that little snake skin off Taylor Swift and like emerge this like hopefully more evolved and sure of myself type of girl.
I feel cool. You. I'm really like excited about it. I think 29 is so much worse than 30.
It's like the lead up.
Yeah. So.
And people basically already think you're 30.
Right.
It's like such a, yeah, it's such a random age.
Okay. And you know what? Like, this is kind of giving me a crazy thought, but in the way that a certain year is kind of like determined to be a good year or a bad year based on like the idea of 29 versus 30 or whatever. It's sort of like this determinism based on, what do they call it? Like nominal determinism, I guess. I think that
I'm not aware of this theory, but I'm like,
it's learn. Like, for example, the theory that like, if your last name is Burgers, you're going to end up running a McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Because, and for me, I can relate to it because my last name is Butts. And I feel like from a very young age, I was always like, not taking anything seriously and kind of just being like defiant and obstinate.
Oh my gosh, fun.
And I feel like that was in like, some ways determined by my name. Like, I mean, some of my strongest memories in elementary school were just the first day of school having my name read out loud. Like, those are some of my strongest, like, you know, memories. So in a way, you can see how that can affect your subconscious and your actions in certain ways that you end up following the path that others perceive you to be on.
Yeah.
Like, against your own intention or outside of your own intention.
Yeah.
But in the case of the sports situation, what is it called? The Super Bowl? In the case of the Super Bowl.
What was that name? The big game?
Yeah. The big game. I think that, like, that subconscious element has to play a role, too. Because if you know, it's like choking. It's like people, the pressure gets to people and they choke. Mm-hmm. Or the narrative of what they think is going to happen sometimes is powerful enough to make it happen. Like, it's like momentum. It's like when you're on a roll, you have a confidence that translates into like 1 + 1 = 3. You are able to make all the like skills come together in that. A way.
Yeah.
Because you have this mindset based on your expectations of your future behavior because of your past behavior. And so whenever a team is in a situation like that where the Chiefs were quote unquote supposed to win because we were supposed to have that moment and everybody was thinking about how it was supposed to happen, I don't even think you need a referee to rig anything or even need to like fuck with the clocks, although that does help with suspense, which makes, you know, for money. But in terms of determining the winner, it can just be done through the subconscious of, yeah, like nominal determinism is not the best way to describe it. But if you can get in other people's heads in a subconscious way, then you can kind of control the outcome.
It's like fake it till you make it kind of. But I mean, I don't know if the Chiefs really had to fake that much because they won last year. They're obviously like have a good organization.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I don't know. Some people said Mahomes was.
Is he slipping this year?
Maybe like just in this game, but I don't know about the whole season. And I also don't know about this game. I wasn't paying attention at that part.
It was too long.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was a lot, but.
I never want anyone to complain about a Broadway musical length again, which you get an intermission for. This game was so long.
Right. And I don't even think we have time to talk about the halftime because I honestly don't have anything to say about it. And
I can just say I liked it. As a millennial, I was like, go off. It made me want to listen to a lot of Usher.
So. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't bring out Justin Bieber because I heard rumor.
I heard a rumor too, and then I saw that he just wasn't feeling it, dog.
Okay, I actually do have something to say about the halftime show, now that I think about it. After the halftime performance was over, they went straight into an advertisement about how they broke the internet, and it was like, I think a Verizon commercial. And then, and I guess that was because the halftime show supposedly broke the internet, which absolutely did not happen.
No, I do not believe that at all.
No one's talking about it.
The Beyonce commercial probably broke the internet more.
Right. But not even, though, because that's such a, like... Like, whenever I see Beyonce saying break the internet, I'm like, girl, you know that that is, like... It's almost like a passe phrase to use. Like, Kim Kardashian used it, and it, like, came across really weird. I don't know. It's just, like, it's, like, a corny thing to say.
It's kind of cheesy.
Like, it's cheesy. I'm like, what?
It's not very, like, 2024, so Verizon needs, like, a new marketing team, maybe.
And...
But the Beyonce commercial, this is not the same commercial, right? Not the Beyonce one, or is that what you're talking about?
I think there were two. I think there was one that was like, right after halftime. That was, like, a teaser. And the thing is about halftime, the, like, guest appearances of Lil Jon and, like, Ludacris or whatever, it's not exciting. I promise you, they're on every single, like, State Farm, Geico insurance commercial on my TV on a daily basis. So you did not break the internet because Lil Jon and Ludacris do not say no to anything.
To the bag. I don't blame them. It's hard out here, but yeah.
Right. And, like, great. Like, go off, do your job. We love to see it. But
it's going to be hard for the halftime show to break the internet unless they literally bring it all back, have Taylor Swift perform, because it's like they've had Beyonce, they've had Lady Gaga, they've had, like, the Rolling Stones, like, some of the biggest stars alive.
Yeah.
I think they've had the Rolling Stones. I think U2, which people still care about. Especially, like, people who watch, older people that watch football.
Well, we might be seeing a turning point where there's less.
It's been kind of lackluster the last couple of years.
Yeah, and maybe there is just more effort being put into the pop culture drama because it's more effective. Like, getting.
They got to start paying people to do the halftime show. It's on your own dime, which is crazy, is what I've heard.
Mm. So, okay, we have a few minutes. Do we want to talk about Joe Biden's Instagram post or Beyonce?
Joe Biden's Instagram post.
What I think we have to. Do you think he did it or his team did it? And are they trolling? Obviously,
so here's what I hope. I hope Hunter, well, I hope he's okay, but maybe Hunter had a little slip in his sobriety and having some fun online. But, like, healthily, I don't know if there's such a thing as a healthy slip. And was like, Dad, wouldn't this be so LOL? And Joe was, like, delirious from being old and was like, whatever. And he posted it. But it probably was a staffer who ran the numbers and didn't run them right because we're all like, what?
It's so fucking weird. I feel like he's about to make... His next announcement is that he's selling crystals like Spencer Pratt, and he's putting a website up to, like, sell crystals. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, do that instead then. Like, I'm going to the post now. It doesn't even make sense. Just like we drew it up at Chiefs. Like, what? Laser eyes.
I mean, I think I understand that it's basically...
I controlled the outcome?
He's poking fun at all of the discussion, I guess, that there was a conspiracy... Or that
I didn't even get that initially, and I'm like so online. I thought he was just being quirky.
Right. Well, it's funny because I think a lot of that sort of discourse has been more so in the sports world, and it's now, like, fully trickled into, like, Stan, like, Twitter and shit. But
crazy.
I don't know if I can imagine for sure, like, a staffer kind of knowing enough about the way that people have been talking to think that it would be funny to poke fun at it because he's the DNC and they're talking about Pfizer and, like, blah, blah, blah.
There's always, like, a conspiracy theory with lasers too, like Jewish space lasers and all the whatever. But I'm just like, I don't understand, like, what he thought this would accomplish. I feel like it's just a very vocal minority who believes that, like, on the far right or the sports world, that, like, Joe Biden is controlling this somehow. And it's just weird. I'm just like, you guys need to, like, put down Twitter, get off the phone, and, like, go pass some bills to protect our rights. Like, That will help your approval rating a lot more if we can focus on that and not the lasers.
Damn.
I should hire me. Just kidding. I know I don't know how half of that shit works, but
when I saw the Joe Biden post, the first thing I thought was like, maybe I can get him to come on the podcast, because like he's basically flirting with me at that point.
That was like cute Anon vibes.
It really was. It was like you're being silly online, eating my food, Joe Biden. Like, go that's get some of applesauce and sit in your corner, because that's my shtick. Like, fuck off.
Stay in your lane.
And it makes me feel like he's like spitting at me. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It was shocking. I completely thought it was fake. Like,
me too. With Hillary's emails. Oh my God.
Oh.
Freudian slip. Hillary's tweets lately. I'm just like, are we trying to like win the like weird politician that's older online like competition that I didn't know was happening? But if they're having fun, cool. Just kidding. No.
I really am at a loss. I always. Like, it's gotten to a point where if you did Photoshop a Hillary tweet, I wouldn't even feel the need to fact check it. I would just be like, I know she did that. I know, like, whatever awful whatever awful, like, tweet you could possibly imagine,
she's maybe something really bad's coming out soon. So she's like, oh, like, let's just fire off a few ridiculous tweets so that when they find out something bad that I did, they're like, she's just being weird online. I don't know. Actually, I don't know if that.
I mean.
But whatever.
I mean, I guess you could say that it is possible the post was a distraction from something else. I think that's usually like,
yeah,
worth considering. I mean, I don't know. That's what a lot of people are talking about on my timeline, is not just the Israel updates, but also the US aid updates, which I think it just was approved.
Pretty that, interconnected.
For sure. But it was like both Ukraine and Israel and something else, and like some sort of huge decision made to give out, like, I don't know, like $100 billion or something to a few countries. And then
something like really a made up number, but it's real.
I do not have my finger on the pulse of, yeah, like, minutia of, like, what goes down in Senate that makes it so that something gets passed at 7 a.m. I don't think that it is something that they can, like, plan out, because there's not enough cooperation for there to be, like, a mastermind timing of a certain, like, event in Congress lining up with, like, a social media thing. Like, because so many things can happen, like the government will shut down or like there's something that delays the progress. So I don't feel like it would be very easy to like have the foresight to think about like that lining up with other events. I mean, it's possible, but I just don't think people are that collaborative in that way. Like, the invisible hand doesn't work like that. It just, that's a place where teamwork is a joke. Like, it doesn't really happen. Like,
but I think both, like, these online antics are just like some sort of like PR strategy that I don't understand. But like, yeah, I'm like, Joe Biden, aren't you and your staff too busy to have like laser eye memes up? But I guess it's someone's job.
I think I'm going to try and consult an astrologist maybe about this election cycle so I can see what's going on.
I have a really bad feeling. I'm generally a very positive person, but I'm feeling a little bit of doom and gloom about this upcoming cycle.
Well, girl, like,
very jaded. I think I'm not alone for sure.
Pluto's in like, Aquarius. I don't know if
the stars are on our side. Like, the planets are on our side. Like, I mean, they're on their own. Like,
I know that thing, like, we just had a new moon in Aquarius a couple days before the Super Bowl, and I could kind of feel the effects of that new moon into the weekend. Although the moon left Aquarius and went into like Pisces and then went to Aries, it's like it changes like every couple days or whatever, which is kind of confusing.
Yes.
But anyway, the new moon was concurrent with zero retrogrades. So obviously there's people talk about Mercury retrograde, but a lot of other things that can be in retrograde. And a retrograde is basically where it appears from our vantage point, which is moving, that they go backwards because we're not staying still and watching them. We're moving with them in weird...
our little orbital...
yeah, paths that kind of can trip you out if you're, you know... and that's what a retrograde is. So anyway, there, like, on the new moon, there were zero retrogrades. So everything was supposed to be kind of clear for setting intentions. And that's kind of cool, but all of my friends are going through it, so I don't know what
I know. That means. I feel like most people in my life, and like including me, are going through, like, even if like everything's like fine, but I'm just like, oh my god, I feel like a little bit like cuckoo right now, and I don't really know why. There's not really a reason.
Just no, being a person, I feel you. I guess,
and the stars and the moons.
I don't feel like I'm doing horribly, but I find the energy of this month to be more intense.
And it's taking a lot.
You have to kind of like channel it in a way that is, that works. Otherwise it's a mess.
Yours.
Well, damn. If I find out who's gonna win the 2024 election soon, I'll let you know.
Thank you so much. I would love to know.
That'd be great. Actually,
yeah. No matter what, I'm kind of like, but we shall see.
Anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. My-